We listen to the word of God found in Luke chapter 1. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." The word of God for the people of God. And you may be seated. You know, a lot of times I think when we read that passage of Scripture, we tend to read through it rather quickly, grab the big points, and move on. We don't pause to really contemplate it, because we want to get to chapter 2 where, you know, Joseph and Mary arrive and find no room at the inn, and the baby's born, and the angels come to the shepherds. And so we kind of read through that rather quickly. Unless you have a somewhat of a Catholic background, you know, you don't pay too much attention to all of that there. You know that John the Baptist leaped in the womb at Mary's voice, and you just kind of say, okay, but you know, babies move in the womb all the time. How many of you that have carried a baby know that babies womb? How many of you men know that? How do you know that? Because we were told, right? You know, babies move in the womb all the time, but there was something different when Mary came and spoke, because Elizabeth knew right away, this isn't normal. Yesterday, we were at a family birthday party, and our daughter-in-law, who's expecting, was sitting beside me, and she started kind of going like that because she had a foot pushing into her ribs, you know. But with Elizabeth, it was something different. You know, she says, as soon as the baby heard your greeting, he leaped for joy. There was an excitement in the unborn child of John, and realizing that Emmanuel, God with us, had come near when Mary came into the room. And Mary's response, it's one of joy. You know, when Elizabeth speaks to her, Mary responds, the Magnificat says, she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices." It was an exciting thing for her to have an affirmation of that. She had found new joy when the angel had appeared to her and proclaimed to her the words that she would bear the Christ child. Now, last night we went through a walkthrough thing at a school of the Nativity, and I'll be honest, we got to the part where the angel appeared to Mary, and it was kids, so I mean, what I'm sharing, I understand it was just kids doing it, but Mary's sitting there at a table knitting, and the angel comes out and appears and gives her the good news, and she responds, you know, "May the Lord do to me as you said," and then she just goes right back to knitting. I just don't picture Mary going right back to knitting after she encountered the angel. You know, I just don't picture it just being like, okay, I'll do this again. You know, it was something that was different, spectacular, exciting, that, you know, that she would have contemplated and been really thinking about everything the angel shared with her. You know, there's an excitement that comes that you want to tell people. So, you know, for us, though, many of us, we've lost our joy. You know, especially it's hard sometimes during this season when you have the trouble candle that kind of pops pops your balloon. You know, we carry sometimes a heavy heart, having lost our sense of hope. Life sometimes a difficult journey. People might ask you, how you doing? You say, I'm fine. But you're not fine. You just say you're fine. Yet down inside, you don't feel fine. The losses and hurts, sometimes they seem bigger than you can stand. But you act like you're fine. And we've all been there, and some of you are there right now. And we wonder, you know, can I ever recover happiness? When will I find joy again? Because we tend to replay the losses and the hurts over and over in our mind. Those are the things that become what we become consumed with, is the trouble candle. We keep looking at the trouble candle. One of the things that can help us, if we take a moment to just pause, shut your mind down on all those things that you race through over and over again. You know, take time to rest and focus on something different. You know, Paul writes in Philippians, and Pastor Chris shares this often as part of his benediction, whatever things are true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, anything that's excellent, anything that's praiseworthy, think on these things. And so often, you know, we lose our joy and all we think about is what we've lost. And we need to pause and think on those things. Pause long enough to look for the things of joyful things. Joy often comes unexpectedly. You know, it's not like I can plan that. Like, okay, Wednesday I'm going to have joy. Yeah, joy surprises us. It comes unexpectedly. It comes in the unplanned moments. You know, think about the joy that Mary experienced. She wasn't anticipating encountering the angel that time. You know, it was a sudden, like, totally unexpected, and she's like, how can this be? Because, you know, I've never even been with a man. She didn't expect the angel to appear, but the angel declared she's favored and she would carry the Christ child. And in that unexpected moment, she suddenly found joy. Think about Elizabeth, old and barren, and suddenly in her old age, she's with child, and not just any child. She knows through her husband that this child is the one that would be the forerunner of the Messiah. She even knew it when Mary entered the room. You're like, blessed are you. An excitement, a joy, it came unexpectedly. Even for the baby in the womb, it was an unexpected experience of joy. You know, we don't anticipate the joy, but joy often comes in anticipation and expectation of a future blessing that you know you're going to receive. If you ever lost something that was important to you and you're looking for it, and you know, how many of you, when you're looking for something lost, you find it in the last place you looked? Thank you for whoever said every time, because I was looking to see, like, oh no, I don't. It's like, well, why do you keep looking if you already found it, you know? But, you know, if you ever had a pet that took off, and maybe you put up signs and you're hoping to find the pet, you know, and someone calls you and says, I have your dog. The joy that suddenly would go through, you don't have the dog yet, but you have the announcement, the pronouncement that you will receive your pet. Your pet's okay. And joy comes because, you know, it comes in anticipation that now I will be reunited with that pet. You know, that's part of what the joy of the Lord is here in the birth of Christ. It's like there's anticipation that what will come will bring you great joy. You know, that was true for the shepherds in Israel. They had waited a long time, wondering and longing, all of Israel, for the Messiah. 400 silent years where there'd been no prophet to even speak. Wondering, is God even still there? They're hoping, but their mind's still on their losses. And then the angel appears and says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." The shepherds that night, it was all about just regular night watch. They weren't expecting anything different. They were hoping there was no surprises as far as anything threatening their sheep. They were just out there taking care of their sheep, probably sitting around the fire. And then suddenly the angel of the Lord appears and tells them, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. For to you today is born in Bethlehem a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And do you think they were excited? Or do you think they sat by the fire and one said, "Hey, will you pour me another cup of coffee, please? Pass the crackers." I think they were amazed because the unexpectedness of the angel and the anticipation of what was coming. There's a Savior been born in Bethlehem. And I've stood where that place is where they think the shepherds were gathered, and you can see Bethlehem maybe a mile up on the hill. And what do? They pause. They don't just continue saying, "Well, what was that? I don't know, but boy, that was a bright light." They don't sit there and talk that way. They say, let's go see. They pause what they're doing. They stop tending the sheep. Now, maybe they took the sheep with them, but they stop being out in the field. Their routine changes. They pause, and they go to see. And had they not done that, would we ever even know the story of the shepherds? Had they not done that, would we ever have heard about an angel proclaiming to them? We probably not, but they paused long enough that they went and they found the Christ child. They told Mary the story, and then they went through the town and told everybody what happened, because now they have joy. It's like what we saw. It's what it is. We were told and we know. But they had to stop doing what they were doing long enough to discover it for themselves. We need to find a pause. We need to find a moment where we stop. We put things into our lives where we're not just racing through the routine. Sometimes we can do that with Christmas, race through the routine of decorations and buying Christmas presents, wrapping Christmas presents, and going to different. We need sometimes to stop and pause our life long enough to experience the joy. If you've lost your joy, find a way to put the pause back in. Find a way to put the rest back in. I heard one person in our church that was helping with somebody, and he was a drummer and helping one of the other drummers, a young guy getting started. And I remember him telling them, as the young guy was just constantly playing, and he told him, he said, "You need to learn how to play the silence. You need to learn how to play the silence, to let the silence be a part of what you're doing." So I want you to think about how you can put a pause back in and how you can discover the purpose, the best news for the whole world by letting a pause come into your life. So there's a little video I would like you to watch, and Merle's going to play that for you here for just a quick second.
My mama told me something when I was growing up that has forever changed my life. She played the piano at our little church at 3rd and Pine Street for 37 years. She tried to teach me to play the piano, but I wasn't very good. She would teach me the names of the notes, what a major key is, what a minor key is. She tried to teach me musical theory, but I was just bored. Then, one day, she told me that the best news in the world is found by playing a simple scale on the piano. I had no idea what she meant, so she told me to play an 8-note scale. So I did. I said, "How is that good news?" And she said I played it incorrectly and that I needed to play it the other way. So I did. Again, I said, "How is that good news?" And she said, "I played it the right way, but I needed to add the pauses." "The pauses?" she said, "the pauses. Add them on the first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note." Now, I was frustrated and said, "How can 8 notes with random pauses be the best news in the world?" Then I got up, walked away, and went outside. Frankly, I didn't care what she was talking about. I didn't like playing the piano anyway. Well, years later, my mama got sick and passed away. As I was thinking about her, I remembered what she told me about the piano. Not only that, I still remember the notes she told me to pause. The first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. So I sat down at her piano and played the scale with the pauses. And that's when I realized the good news she was talking about.
Too often, we like to just play through real quick. We lose our joy, but we need to put the pauses back in. Put the pauses back in our life so that we might know the good news. Good news of joy. The Lord has come. But you might be asking yourself, how do I put the pauses back in? Especially when my heart's sad. The best place to start is in the Word of God, to read and study your Bible. And not just read through it quickly, but I mean, I think you've all been there where you've read the Bible or read another book and you stop and you think, I don't remember what was on the last 2 pages. But to slow yourself down, take the pause and really look into the pages. Let God's Word pour over you. Another way, find the pause, share with someone else that you're lacking your joy. You know, we're not meant to live in solitude for the body of Christ. And I remember after Katrina being in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and working with a pastor, I've told you this story before, I think, where his church had 30 people that had lost 39 homes or more. And he said, "I will never forsake the fellowship of believers again." He said, "When I look into the eyes of the people that are active and present in church," he said, "there's life, there's energy, there's joy. Even though they've lost everything, there's still an excitement, an energy there. But when I look into the eyes and the lives of those who rarely made it to church," he said, "there's despair and emptiness and hurt." You know, the body of Christ should help us find our joy. So share if you're hurting with someone else. Obviously, pray daily. And not just saying the words and repetition, but really pour your heart out to God and then pause to listen to what God might say to you. Then it always helps if you do something kind or generous to someone at least once a week. You know, the more you can share something good or kind to somebody, the more it helps stir your heart. We need to change and develop patterns of good things that sets our hearts back on anticipation and the unexpectedness of when God might appear and create joy within us. And we need to be seeking that the Spirit of God be down inside us like Tim's balloon that had water, that when the trouble candle comes, it can't burst it. You know, we need to just pause and let God work instead of trying to run on our own. Let us pray together. Father, may your spirit fall upon us. Lord, there's so much that happens, especially this time of year, Lord, as we have losses and heartaches and brokenness, Lord, where we need the unexpected moments where you appear and give us joy. Lord, even if we only can anticipate the good, Lord, that gives us joy. So be poured out upon us, Lord, that we might pause for you to come. Amen. We join in singing our closing hymn, Joy to the World. Take time in your life to pause, to not race through the scale, but to take the time to let the melody come out that proclaims the good news, that joy to the world. The Lord has come, and discover that joy in your own life. May you go in the peace and the love and the joy and the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen.